Thank you. Hi there, guys. Oh, beautiful bunch of people. So good to see everyone again. Kids, well done for staying. Just, I need a little bit of your time, okay? It's going to get better. Okay. Last week, last Sunday, we spoke on staying connected. We had a bit of a debrief over 4:12. And I don't know about you, but it didn't feel like there was much life on that meeting. Some of you might have thought, yeah, it was a good meeting, and it was a good meeting. I believe the Lord was here. But we spoke about staying connected to him and seeking him. Remember, I used those scriptures, seeking him with all your heart, and he will let you find him. And it was always as if God went, okay, so seek me. You know? Okay, I'll take a step back. And in that meeting, I was thinking, oh, no. Because it didn't seem to me that we were finding him that easily. And this whole week, we were talking about that and praying, going, Lord, we want you, we need you. And in this week, he's just been showing me we should seek him more. You know, how we should seek him. And then to ask that question, for all of us to ask that question, do we seek him? Do we seek him earnestly? You know, what does earnestly look like? And I think that sometimes we don't. And I think sometimes I don't. And I'm here to warn us and to say, hey, heads up. Maybe we're seeing this wrong. Maybe we're thinking that we are seekers of God. Or in fact, we kind of just follow him. And we're not earnestly seeking him like the word says. And what would that look like? What should our relationship look like with Jesus if we seek him? Will we fit him into our schedules, into our Sunday afternoons, or will we fit our whole lives into his? 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9 says this. This is to Solomon. It says, and Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Okay, my translation adds intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and willing mind. Okay, that's the same. For the Lord sees every heart and understands and knows every plan and thought. Think about that. Every thought you've had today, even the stinky ones, he knows them. Okay? So what the Bible says. And then, if you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, if you don't seek him, he will reject you forever. That's a heavy sentence. It's like the scripture puts these two opposites. It says, I've got seeking him and forsaking him. You choose. If you seek him, you will find him. Amazing, beautiful. But if you don't, he will reject you. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be there. Reject forever. To stay there forever. Yeah, forever. Forever is a long time to be wrong about this, guys. Not like, oops. It's a long time to be wrong about this. So how important is it for us to find him? Do we realize our need for him? Do we cling to him? This floor is creaky right here. It's not me, it's the floor. And the seeking is an active seeking as opposed to a passive seeking. You know, you can like, oh yeah, I'm a fan, I follow the ways of the Lord. Or no, you are hungry, you are actively searching it like a treasure hunter. A treasure hunter doesn't hunt treasures in the couch. He's out there, you know, it's Indiana Jones. Da, 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 da. He's out there, and he's a man of action, you know. It's an active thing. And treasure hunters look for things like gold, and, you know, the Bible calls gold worthless and perishable. That's what it says about gold. And we will chase after that. And I don't really want to go down that road. But can we be active about it? So, that's what I'd like to speak to about tonight. I really felt that this is important for the Lord. I want to start with a very risky demonstration. So I don't know how this is going to go, okay? So I need your cooperation. What I need from you is to sit relatively quietly. And I'm going to call Frodo up here. Frodo, come. Good boy. Okay. Frodo. So this is Frodo, and he's our dog. He's not well trained. He's not a trained like service dog. So I'm going to be trying something here. I'm trying that he doesn't look back because I don't want him to see where Jeanette is. And I'm going to ask him to seek her. All right. The thing about a dog, I don't know if you've noticed, they're always aware of where their master is. They're always devoted to the master. And no matter how uncomfortable, he's cringing to be up here. You can tell if he's shivering. You know, but he is happy to be. He's happy to be with us, no matter how uncomfortable. He wants to be with us. And when he's home alone, he actually gets naughty because he starts misbehaving because there's an insecurity that comes in because he's not with his master. He wants to be with his master. And can't we also be like that? Okay, I'm gonna try this. So if he comes past you, just sit quietly. He won't bite. He's super friendly. But I'm gonna try that. Okay, kids. So if Frodo comes past you, just stand still. Okay, you can touch him, but just stand still. I'm gonna try this. He knows some people, yeah. This is not working. He's never been with so many people, so this is amazing for him. Try it one more time. I think if he finds her now, it'll just be luck.
Where's he going?
Sure. It was close. Okay. Which brings me to another point. Don't be distracted. Just let the kids go. Okay. Yeah, Frodo's a sucker for food. If any of you had food, he would just be lost. He loses his mind for food. We do feed him. Okay. All right, so It didn't go quite as well as planned, but he is after Jeanette. He looks, he watches her at home. He will just watch her the whole time. He just watches every move, and he seeks after her. And when he finds her, he's so happy. He's so glad to be there. He feels insecure without her. And I believe, in a way, that should be our relationship with the Lord. If we can be like that, you know. And some of our meetings here, most of the meetings, almost just about every meeting, God feels really close here in this place. You are a people that love him, and he responds and he's here. But it could be that God sometimes withdraws. And you think, why would God want to withdraw? But we see it in his word, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 31. It's about King Hezekiah, and he was the king of Judah. And it says, when the ambassadors arrived from Babylon to ask about the remarkable events that had taken place in the land, God withdrew from Hezekiah in order to test him and to see what was really in his heart. Not Hezekiah sinned and grieved God and he withdrew his presence. The way this looks here, he was being prospered. Hezekiah was very successful at this point. But God withdrew from him in the presence of guests. You know, so he was like, he was normally cool because he had God with him. Suddenly, he's like, where are you, Lord? And it says there, to test his true character, to show what's really in our hearts. So God would do that. He did it to Job. He did it to Job to show what was in Job's heart. So he can do that. So what if God does that to us sometimes in a meeting? Right here, what if he just doesn't show up to test what's in our heart? Will we seek him? And in a sense, I believe that's what happened last week as well. In a sense. Look, some things, we made some mistakes in the meeting also as people. And that's fine. I spoke, I basically put you to sleep with my tone. It was really hot. It was a tough meeting. But sometimes I think also God used that meeting, used the meeting. And it's a sense of, you might have just gone, okay. You're saying, seek me with all our heart. I still put that out as a challenge. What would we look like if we seeked him with all his heart, searched for him with all our heart? How do we then respond? How do we then respond? What do we do? Do we go, oh, well, he's not here. Let's check in next week. You know, because, you know, he missed the meeting. It's not about the Sunday anyway. It's not about the Sunday. It's about the condition of our heart every day. The response in Zephaniah 2:3, it's not going to be up there. You respond in humility. You seek him. It's Zephaniah, it says, seek the Lord, all who are humble. The word seek is, in Greek, it's Z-E-T-E-I-T-E, zetite, whatever. Zetite word. It's an active verb. It's an action word. It's a word of actively pursuing, actively desiring, requiring, demanding, searching, pursuit. That's what seek means. You know, you all kind of knew what the word meant, but it's a stronger word. It is really to seek after, to desire. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek it. It compares the kingdom of God to everything else and says, seek that thing more than anything else. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Okay, where am I going with that? Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that God rewards those who diligently, earnestly seek him. That's even a stronger word than just normally seek. That's crave, worship. Those are the definitions of that word. It's the same word, same root word, but it's even stronger. And it's linked with faith in that scripture. It says, if you have faith, you will do this, and then you will get that reward. And the converse is also then true. There's a link between seeking earnestly, diligently, and proof that you have faith. If you have faith, that will be the fruit. You will seek. You will hunger after him. It gets It gets deeper. Song of Solomon 5 from verse 2. I think most of you probably know it. I want to just read some of that. So this depicts a beautiful relationship between the bride and her groom, between the bride and the Father, the God, God the Father. I slept, but my heart was awake. Listen, my lover is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my flawless one. My head is drenched with dew, my hair with the dampness of the night. And then she says, I've taken off my robe. Must I put it on again? I have washed my feet. Must I swell them again? My lover thrust his hand through the latch opening. My heart began to pound for him. I arose to open, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with flowing myrrh on the handles of the lock. I opened for my lover, but my lover had left. He was gone. My heart sank at his departure. You can. It's a beautiful part to read. Read further. Read the whole thing. I'm not going to do that now. But it starts with the lover knocking. And then she is, I'm in bed already. My robe is off. My feet have been washed. Because those days, if you go out, your feet are dirty. Eh? It's an inconvenience for me to now get up and accommodate him. That's what's going through her mind. That's what she's saying there. And then she realizes who that really, like, no, what am I doing? I need to go. And when she gets to the door, it's too late. And then if you read on, it's how she rushes into the night, into those dirty streets, looking for a lover. Much worse than Frodo was now. Going everywhere, embarrassing herself. She doesn't care. She doesn't care that she's embarrassed. She doesn't have a cloak on. They say it's the watchman. It says that they block her, they stop her. I think they harass her. So bad things start happening to her because she's lost that intimacy. She's seeking for him. Bad things happen because she missed it. We don't want to be a people that miss it. Let's be quick to respond to it. Go and read it. Go keep reading that Song of Solomon 5. It goes on into the other chapters about how she searches for him, how she asks people, have you seen him? He looks like this. And then there's like, why do you want to seek him? And then she describes how amazing he is because she wants to seek him. She realizes a mistake. She gets desperate for him. Desperately seeking for him. Do we become desperate? Oh, our beloved has left the door. No. Or, oh well, I'll just have some tea and go back to bed. After all, I am still clean. I'll go back to bed now. Maybe he'll come back tomorrow. No. She rushes out. Another picture of that, Mark 5, from verse 24. I'm not going to read it. It's a story of the lady with the issue of blood. You know that story? I'm giving you lots of material to work through in your quiet times. And I don't want to read it now. But if you can imagine, have you ever imagined that story? So Jesus is walking, okay? He's walking on his way to go heal a boy. And crowds are pressing in on him. They're all following him, and they're pressing him on. Much like if you had to exit the stadium after a game, you know, you walk, and everybody is like this. Everybody is squashed, and you're walking, and you kind of, if you have to stop walking, you'll just keep on moving because you can't go against it, you know. There's no way you can turn around. It is a crush of people. Everybody's touching everybody. And in this mess where people are just walking, a woman thinks, I am unclean because I have this issue of blood. She's had it her whole life. If I can just get to the hem of his garment, not even like see him, get him to pray for me, touch his skin, anything. He doesn't even have to know about me. I can just get to the hem of his garment. She is desperate. She's so desperate that she forsakes her dignity again and she pushes through this mess. I have to get through him. She'll crawl through. And then eventually she gets just to the bit of a garment. And Jesus goes like, whoa. Where somebody touched me. And the disciples are like, yeah. You think, you know, everybody is touching you right now, you know. And everybody, you can see maybe people are a little bit irritated, like people are pushing. And he's like, no, somebody touched me with faith. Somebody touched me. She didn't just follow him. She was desperate for him. Many of us can just go with, yeah, we're in this church thing and we're going, and hey, sometimes there's momentum carrying you. Sometimes you do some of the pushing and the walking and you can be close to Jesus. But I think he wants us more than just following him. He wants us desperate for him. Desperate for him. Isaiah 55 verse 6. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. There's a time limit. There's a time limit. You know, it's like those infomercials. If you buy now, you know, there's a time limit to this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Are you a God seeker? Or just a fan? There's a time limit to this. Seek him while he may be found. There's an opportunity here. There's a season in which we can seek him. There will be times that we can't find him. Life is easy now for us. As a church, we're not. Here we are, we're meeting. We're not meeting underground. It's not hard to meet, to do church. It can get a lot harder. It's a good season. I'm not sure that is what this scripture is referring to our situation. But it's the sense of he's available to us freely. We're able to operate in our gifts, operate in our faith, express our faith freely in this time. It won't be forever. Are we God seekers? There's so many other scriptures about seeking. It is such a serious thing. When you start looking for something, you see it everywhere. Psalm 105 verse 4, 1 Chronicles 16, 11. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Not 4 o'clock on a Sunday. Deuteronomy 4, 29. You will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him. Something like that. With all your heart and your soul. Jeremiah 29, 13. If you seek me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will let you find me, some scripture says. I will let you find me. So he will withdraw, and then if he sees you, your heart is all in it, completely, he will allow it. He's not surprised that you find him. This was a scary scripture to me this week. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 2. I don't know if it's there. This is about King Amaziah, or Amaziah, I don't know how you pronounce it. It says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. How sad is that? How sad is that? Do you want that on your gravestone? Do you want to be remembered? Yeah, Yaku obeyed God. He did what was right. Everything looked right. But he wasn't wholeheartedly in it. He was here, he showed up. But did he do it wholeheartedly? I'm not so sure. Eh? When things got tough, I don't know. Look, I trust Yaku, okay? It's not on Yaku. But imagine you say that. And if you look at it, if you read on, Amaziah just messed up. He started messing up. Go and look at it. He fell away. He became a bad king. Not wholeheartedly. Do we want that? Just kind of do what's right, but we're not all in. We're not wholeheartedly seek him. Because the word says, you'll find me if you search me wholeheartedly. Absolutely invested. Absolutely committed. Devoted. All in. Surrendered to him. It's easy to learn about God in church. It's easy to come here for years and know a lot about church, really, and know what to say, know how to do this, know how to find a fault in a meeting, know how to say, well, it should have been like this, like that. It's easy to talk about his values and his principles, and you will sound mature, you'll sound devoted. But do you search him? Do you search for him in your own quiet times? Maybe for days. What if God doesn't show up for weeks here? will we just keep on searching him, like with Job? His friend said, no, you must have done something wrong. And he's all miserable. And he's like, no, I'm honoring God. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing. Go read Job. With all our heart for days. Or do we search for him with only part of our hearts? Only half an hour in the morning sometimes and in the prayer meeting before church and in the worship. Which is good things. It's good things. Young people, if you want to be a leader in this church, yes, it's good to learn. It's good to study. Put the time in. Spend time with him. Spend more time with Jesus. Just that one of the two things. Read your word and spend more time with Jesus. That's it. I actually, like, don't tell me you've gone to Bible school. Read the word, spend time with Jesus. If you have a relationship with him, intimately, hungrily seeking after him, he will raise you up. He will use you because he needs more like you, if that's you. And it doesn't only apply to young people. It's for anybody who want to be, who aspire for leadership, which is a good thing. So because of this, I really feel that our God is saying, let's seek him. I want to invite you this week to pray with me. Already this Saturday morning, some of the men, we got together, and we'll do that every Saturday morning now for a while. So as men, you'd be welcome to come. We'll meet you in the training hall, 7 to 8. But I want to invite you this week to pray, to seek him in your own time. But also I want to invite you to fast. Yes, the F word. Fasting. And I'm not going to speak much about fasting. In fact, I'll post a video clip about it. It'll just a small teaching. There's some very good reasons for fasting and benefits of fasting. It's very good stuff. I don't want to detract from this message about seeking him, even though fasting is seeking him. That's why we're doing it, because we want to seek him. We want to seek him. When you fast, you basically say, my greatest need is beyond my most basic need. My basic need is food, but God is greater. That's what you're expressing. And since we haven't fasted for a while, which is not great, but we haven't, I'm asking that we fast Wednesday, the day, just the day, from the morning, and then as you come together in the evening, in your home groups, you break the fast together and worship. I'm asking it, if you're okay with it. If you have a medical condition or need to eat, that's something different, work that through with your home group leader. But if you're hearing what I'm saying here, let's do this together in unity, and to seek his heart. And if this is the first time that you're fasting, well done. It will be great. We can support each other. We'll draw nearer together as we talk about it. But will you join me in seeking him? Because the idea of fasting is to think about him more. Because you're going to think about the fact that you're not going to get a basic need, your food. When you think about that, you think, okay, Lord, yes, this is for you, because I want to seek you. And then you start praying for the church, for yourself, for your family, for his will to be done, whatever the Spirit lays on your heart. You will draw nearer to him. That's what happens. It's a biblical principle. Isaiah 58, verse 8 to 9 says, after you have fasted, it says this, then your light, God's light, will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. It's in Isaiah. Here am I. I don't know about you. I want God to say, Jacques, here am I. You calling me? Here I am. You know? And then have fellowship with him. Because it's about knowing him. It's about knowing him. Can we stand? I don't know about you, but I just want to, like, seek him. Mike, can you guys come back up again? Can we be a people who are known for seeking him? For seeking him, even if he withdraws. That nobody can ever say, that the accuser can never say, but you didn't seek him. Let's close our eyes, please. Oh Lord, we want to seek you, Lord. We want to seek you. We want to be known as God seekers, Lord. I want to ask if you are here now and you've heard this, and there's something in what I've said that made you think, yeah, I do need to seek him more. I do need to seek him in a deeper way. Will you raise your hand? I'll raise my hand. Jesus, you're seeing our hands, Lord. We are stating, we are declaring, Lord, that we need you. We are dependent on you, Lord, and we want to seek you, Lord. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Lord. Amen. You can drop your hands. If there's anybody here that feels they need to repent for not seeking him, for being distracted by the world,